Today, guys, as we get started, I'm going to leave lights off because I do have a couple clips I'll show. But this is probably going to be as I was seeking the Lord on what He wanted me to share with us for Christmas, you know, in December, because, you know, we just don't want to set apart December and think about Jesus. We want to think about Jesus every 365 days out of the year. But as a congregation, as an assembly, we do focus on what His purpose was. The birth of Jesus, that was the purpose, but on the cross wasn't the end. Amen. That was the beginning of His life and His purpose. But on the cross, He finished it on the earth. But He is not done yet. Amen. That was on the earth. He's coming back, guys. And He's coming back for, help me, a glorious church. That's what we need to see ourselves as, a glorious church. So as I was studying and seeking the Lord gave me, we was going watching some movies this year. I forget what movie we watched prior to this, but as they were showing the previews, you know, you go to movies, you got to see previews. You get there early, you're going to see a lot of previews. And we like to get there early. And Tom Hanks came on the screen. It was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And I'm a big fan of Tom Hanks. He's done some good movies, and just love what he does. So I said, we're going to have to come watch that movie. So that kind of got in my spirit, got in my heart. And then I really started listening and kind of searched a little bit about Mr. Rogers, because when I saw that, it got me thinking. Well, you know, sometimes before Christ, your thinking's all messed up. Because you think like the world, you act like the world, you smell like the world. And so my first impression of Mr. Rogers, I liked Fred Kirby, the Little Rascals. I watched Captain Kangaroo. But it was just when Mr. Rogers came on, I don't know, it was something I heard, and just looking at him, it just, you know, sometimes you judge people and you judge wrong because you're looking on the outward. You know, think about King David. You know, they didn't even pick him out. They didn't even call him in for king. But God said, that's the one I've chosen. You ain't even seeing him. Well, guess what? God's chose you. Take His gospel to the world, His good news. So so I started reading about Fred. Fred Rogers is his name. And I wanted to share. I've got on my Bible app, it'll give me some reading plans that'll pop up. And some of them I do, some of them, you know, I just maybe do a couple of them. But this one, it came up because I'd seen the preview of that movie, and it came up and it was bright red on my screen. So, you know, Christmas time, you think about reds and greens. It caught my attention, and it said, Mr. Rogers and the Call to Create. The Call to Create. What is the whole Christmas story? God created us in the beginning, but now His creation, He was after, the Call to Create. He called us to create. He is the creator, but He called us to have authority and dominion over this earth. What I'm talking about is create good things, relationships. Amen. So I'm going to give a quick biography of Mr. Rogers. We'll call him Fred. And then for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, unless the Lord would change it, this devotion came in on my Bible app as four devotions. And I figured, well, that is four Sundays. We'll just look at Mr. Rogers, but you got to look deep within the man and what his purpose was, and you'll see God. Because that's what he had, a heart for kids, a heart for the ministry. So who was Fred Rogers? He lived from 1928 to 2003. Fred Rogers was a much-loved host of the public television show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which ran on PBS from 1968 to 2001. He was a puppeteer and an ordained minister, this I didn't know, with a degree in music composition. He wrote 200 songs for the show, including the theme, Won't You Be My Neighbor? He was honored with numerous awards and accolades for his dedication to children via TV. His early life: he was born on March 20th, 1928 in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. He was an only child, think about that, an only child until the age of 11, when his parents, James and Nancy, adopted a baby girl. After graduating from Latrobe High School, Rogers enrolled in Dartmouth College, where he studied for a year before transferring to Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. And Rogers, who had begun playing the piano at a young age, graduated magna cum laude in 1951 with a degree in music composition. During his senior year of college, he visited his parents and was awed by the family's newest household addition, a TV set. Can you remember the first time you saw a TV? Mine was black and white. He could see a fantastic future for the medium, and as he would later recall, Rogers immediately decided he wanted to be a part of it. Jim's got a lot of books to write, and one thing he said, decisions will determine your destiny. Your decisions will determine your destiny. His early career, Rogers' first job in television came when he worked as an assistant and floor manager of the music programs for NBC in New York City. In 1953, he was hired to work in programming by WQED in Pittsburgh, a recently launched community TV station that was the first of its kind in the country. By the following year, he was co-producing a new program, The Children's Corner. This allowed Rogers, who had fallen in love with puppetry as a child, to introduce some of his favorite puppets from his home to his young audience. In the early 60s, Rogers made his first appearance as Mr. Rogers on a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation show, and it was called Mr. Rogers. The program helped by the groundwork in its look and approach for Rogers' later show. As his experience grew, so did his aspirations. He earned his divinity degree in 1962 at his ordination, the Presbyterian Church asked him to serve children and families through television. Canada, however, was not where Rogers or his wife, Joanne, and we got a picture of his wife, him and his wife, Joanne. That is not where or whom, that's where he, let me start over. Canada, however, was not where Rogers or his wife, Joanne, whom he had met in Rollins, wanted to raise their two young sons. Soon the Rogers family was back in Pittsburgh, where Rogers created Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And this is where it kind of intrigued me a little bit. This happened in 1966. Now, that might not be something special to you, but I was born in 1966. And then, 2 years later, two just always rings a bell with me, say yes to Jesus. 2 years later, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood aired on PBS. Stations throughout much of the country. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Over the course of its decades-long run, Rogers' show varied little, and I just read it was the longest-running TV show ever. It ran 33 years. That's a long time. He approached his young audience with respect and directness about issues children faced that were rarely touched on by other programs. Ritual and the familiar appearance of some of TV's most enduring characters, including the delivery man, Mr. McFarley, Mr. McFeely, X the Owl, Queen Sarah Saturday, and King Friday, helped keep the show fresh for generations of kids. At the center of the show, of course, was Fred Rogers himself, a Protestant minister who worked as the series producer, host, and head puppeteer. Now, as you read Jim's book, he'll be sure to tell you, I think he mentioned in there, that the radio stations he had for many, many years, he had to preach them, teach them, edit them, and get them in the mail. He was kind of like a one-man show. When God gives you something to do, just do it with all your heart. You know, you got other people that he's called to help you. Sometimes they don't show up at the appropriate time. But that shouldn't faze you if God's put something in your heart. Just do it. He also wrote the scripts and the songs. This is a quote, one of his quotes, many. "The world is not always a kind place," he said, talking about his show. "That's something all children learn for themselves, whether we want them to or not. But it's something they really need our help to understand." Ain't that awesome? In the very first show that aired on PBS, Fred Rogers began the program much as he would over the next 33 years by walking through the front door of his television house and trading in his raincoat and suit jacket for a zippered sweater. See if this will ring a bell.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, could you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
I wonder how many takes he had to be sometimes when he would miss that shoe as he threw up there. He's quick at doing that shoe. And why does he take his shoes off and put tennis shoes on? Well, if inquiring minds won't know, won't you ask Mr. Rogers? They had an interview with him, and he found out when you are the puppeteer and you do all these puppets and you move and you're here and you're there on the stage, those shoes make a lot of noise when you're doing sound production, so he put tennis shoes on. But why do kids always, they see something, they ask questions? It was just something God gave him to get kids intrigued. Wonder why he does that for. Well, then they start asking their parents. You know, a lot of times it's good to have kids at church, but we want the family. Amen. Yeah. You know, a lot of parents will just drop the kids off for Wednesday night Bible study, but we want the family. God wants the family. Amen. So it was just a way God will put something in you to draw people to him through you. So the sweaters soon became as much part of the program as the puppets. In all, Rogers had about 24 of these sweaters, all made by his mother. In 1984, the Smithsonian Institution chose to put one of those famous sweaters on exhibition. Honor God, and he'll honor you. Amen. During its long run, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood attracted well-known guests such as, and I don't know these, I don't know, Yo-Yo Ma and Wynton Marsalis, and earned Rogers several awards for the program's excellence. The honors included 4 Daytime Emmys, a 1997 Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Academy of Television of Arts and Sciences, and in 2002, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 1999, he was inducted into Television TV Hall of Fame. Rogers' commitment to children, however, wasn't limited to his TV set. In 1968, he served as chairman of and I watched this video. You can see it on YouTube. I didn't put it here just as for time's sake. But in 1968, he served as chairman of a White House forum on child development and the mass media and was often consulted as an expert or witness on those issues. And if you listen to that video, one of the senators was kind of, you know, they can be kind of harsh and brush, you know, because they're seeking money. They was looking for the money. The funding was had got knocked down from $20 million to $10 million, a federal grant. Well, Mr. Rogers was there to let them know, hey, we'd like to have the 20. You know, if somebody gives you an opportunity to receive, would you rather have $10 million or $20 million for your production? I'd rather have 20. So he gave a 6-minute interview or deposition to that senator, and that senator was almost in tears, I could say. He was from New York. And he said, at the end of it, he just pretty much said, well, you just got your $20 million. Because he wanted to see a clip of this show. he never knew the man. They brought somebody in that was biased, that had never knew Mr. Rogers, and 6 minutes with the man changed his life. Plus $20 million for his program. Amen. And he was very humble about it. He didn't get up, jump, and dance. I'm sure he was on the inside, as Mr. Rogers would. So Fred Rogers, This is a quote from that Senate hearing about his program. This is what I give. I give an expression of care every day to each child to help him or her realize that he is or she is unique. I feel that if we in public television can only make it clear that feelings are mentionable and manageable, we will have done a great service for mental health. His final years. As his program crossed into its fourth decade, Rogers began to slow down. Over the last few years of its run, the host curtailed his production schedule to 15 or so episodes a year. In December 2000, he taped his final episode through PBS, aired original programs up until 2001. In December 2002, he was diagnosed with stomach cancer. He underwent surgery the following month, but it did little to slow the disease down. On February 27, 2003, with his wife Joanne at his side, he died at his home in Pittsburgh. One more clip here, the legacy and movie. Now, there is a movie out here, and I'd make plans. You would really enjoy it. The iconic host legacy endured through the creation of the Fred Rogers Company, which helped launch the animated Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood for PBS Kids in 2012. In January 2018, it was announced that Tom Hanks would take on the role of Mr. Rogers for a movie titled A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. The biographical drama based on an Esquire profile of the family-friendly TV star premiered to strong reviews in November. And this is Tom Hanks. Kind of hard to tell the difference.
Hello, neighbor.
Hey, I'm looking for Fred Rogers.
In here.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Mr. Rogers,
I'm here to interview you.
It is so nice to meet you.
You okay?
I'm profiling Mr. Rogers.
Boyd, please don't ruin my childhood.
This piece will be for an issue about heroes. Do you consider yourself a hero?
We are trying to give the world positive ways of dealing with their feelings.
Yeah? Like what?
Things you can do. You can play all the lowest keys on a piano at the same time.
You love broken people like me.
Sometimes we have to ask for help, and that's okay. I think the best thing we can do is to let people know that each one of them is precious.
Hey, Mr. Rogers.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Please, won't you be my neighbor?
That was wonderful.
Praise God. That last clip, I never thought about it, but after service, Jim is going to be signing. Anybody would like to have their book signed, he's going to sign it, and because he's the author. You know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. See, he's the physical author, but on the inside, Jesus gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. And see what happened with Mr. Rogers, that's where he lived. That's his neighborhood. That's the train that he rode. But the people, when they sang your song to you, that ministered life to him. I can imagine when Jim writes this book and he'll run across some friends or maybe some strangers that'll mention some quotes in his book. You know what that does? That brings life. That ministers life to you. Yes, they're getting it. Amen. Because that shows that somebody is reading it. And when they sang that song to him, man, you just met his whole life began. It brought purpose because it wasn't about him. It's about what God had put in him to share to the world. And God has given us all dreams to share. And your world, your neighbor, is right outside. So my introduction, and like I say, we're not going to be here too long this morning because I wanted to get that biography in there because this is not about Mr. Rogers. It's about Christ in Mr. Rogers. And Christ in us, the hope of glory. See, because I think this movie is such neediness in this time in our world, and this book about offenses, about seeing this. You know, this wasn't a movie you go to where, you know, the bullets are flying and all this fast pace, because that's what a lot of times we're used to. Not all of them, but this movie is like you're sitting in church. and it's good. It's not for so much the kids. This is more, it's more geared for adults, and I would say it's geared for maybe the older kids, but because this is about his life. It's about the purpose on the inside of him as an adult. And if we want to change, you know, the Lord told us about our generation here. You know, there's another generation underneath us, the younger, the kids, that we're after them too, to pass on. You know, I'm looking for my Timothy. You know, I became my Timothy to Jim to take what, you know, because I'm about 30 years younger. I'm not looking at the age, but we're looking at our time span. And we got to take what we've learned and we got to put it into others so it'll carry on. You know, that's what we do. That's what Christ did. He started the church in his disciples, those 12, that one of them was even the devil, but he still loved him the same. Amen. And through this came, well, I'll give you my introduction here. I think I gave you a little bit of it. As I was seeking the Lord about what to share this Christmas, I heard that Tom Hanks was releasing a new movie in November about Mr. Rogers. I can remember as a young boy watching some of the program, but I was disturbed by the way he looked and talked. Little did I know until recently that he was a Christian and a minister of the gospel, and how God used him in creative ways to reach his generation for Christ. Therefore, I said, Lord, I would like to dedicate this month and honor Fred Rogers for the work you called him to do. Amen. Therefore, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to visit Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Amen. Are you ready? I don't have no train. We don't have, you know, I could probably get Leo. We could probably get a train in here. But you know what? It's not all about the trinkets. And that was what Mr. Rogers, when he saw that TV set, television. See, TV is telling a vision. And he'll go on and he'll say, and I'll probably read some of this, but that when he saw it, the first thing he saw was people throwing pies at each other in the face, throwing pies at each other. And that wasn't bad, but to Mr. Rogers, that wasn't, because he was bullied as a kid. He was chubbier as a kid, and they called him Fatty Freddy. And he said, it hurt me. It hurt me. And you'll see, he was pretty skinny. On here, I say skinny. He was skinnier than I was. Amen. Because you got to watch how you say skinny, thin. You know, he looked like Rowan up there, Rowan or Dallas. I looked like that at one time. But anyway, he said those words hurt him. So when he saw the TV and I'm throwing mud pies, he said he saw something different. He said, I can see God gave him a creative idea that we don't have to have guns and violence and all this. He saw ministering to kids without the guns, without all these. He used puppets. He used kindness. He used words that would hit the soul. That small, still voice, a lot of times, you know, God even displayed that in the book of Isaiah when he was talking to Elijah. Elijah, he sent him this earthquake and he sent him this wind and said, God wasn't in it, but that small, still voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? Who took your vision? Where'd that fear come from? You know what I've called you to do. You're a mighty man of God. So, I titled this, the series is going to be Love Thy Neighbor. But there's four subtitles into it. But I like this, Love Thy Neighbor, we were created to love. God is love, and He created us in His image and in His likeness. Now, this first subtitle is called The Guided Drift. Long before he zipped up a Cardigan sweater and became Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers was a young man who loved Jesus and was eager to discern his calling. Throughout his childhood and adolescence, Rogers had many interests, talents, including music, puppetry, and children's education. The question in Rogers' mind was how could he combine these gifts in a single opportunity to best serve others. And Judy and myself and Dr. Howard, we've taught. Judy went to LCU. If I've learned anything in that school, I've heard that slogan, we serve God by serving others. That was so put into my spirit. That's what it's all about, is we serve God by loving others. We love God by loving others. Dr. Junlee Lee, the former co-director of the Fred Rogers Center, explains, Fred was guided by a deep sense of service. Think about the guided drift. What is guiding you? What is drifting you? What is your purpose? He was driven by service. Even in his mind, it was vague for years as to how to best leverage his considerable talents in service of others. He embodied Romans 12:1, deeply understanding that as Christians, the gospel of Jesus' selfless sacrifice should compel us to view our whole lives as to serve others. When it comes to our work, the proper response to the gospel is not to seek out the work that will earn us the most fame and fortune. The goal should be to find the work we can do most exceptionally well in service of God and others. And I'll add mine is, if though the most happiest, and this was quoted by somebody, I think it was quoted by my pastor, the most happiest people in the world are those that know what God has called them to do and are doing it. Amen? And are doing it. The goal should be, you don't set out to be rich and famous, you set out to be helpful. As Rogers' biographer points out, this relentless sense of service to God drove every moment of Fred Rogers' life. Now, he wasn't, you can ask his wife, the interview she had, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, but he learned from his mistakes to be better, especially in how he thought about his work. But how would he serve? Where was Rogers being called to put his gifts to work for the glory of God and for the good of others? These were the questions Rogers grappled with for many years. He had a term that he loved to use when referring to discerning one's call. And that's what I want you to hear, the call to create. Because Jesus came to answer that call of the Creator, of His Father, to bring us back to the Father in relationship so that we could hear the Father's heart. We could hear His voice again on the inside. He called it the guiding drift, discerning your call, that guiding drift. I drifted along for many years, didn't have no guidance, didn't have no spiritual connection. But this was on TV. If I had just turned the channel and listened, amen, if I just listened. The idea was that while it's good and wise to make plans, one needed to live a life that was open to change, led by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word never changes, but you need to be apt to change. The cultures are going to change. Songs are going to change. Go back 30, 40 years to have a video and singing praise and worship and not singing a hymnal would be like, where are we at? Because churches, it was the hymnals. The hymnal songs are still put into good songs and put on the video projector. If you don't get offended at what's being played at church, you can get blessed by God, who is the church. Amen? That sound good? Because you are the church, and God's purpose is to bless us when we come to church. Not only when we come to church, but when we leave church, if we'll focus and think about Him, we will be a neighbor to the neighborhood. Amen? Now, Mr. Rogers wouldn't get like that. If you watch the movie, he doesn't get that excited. But that's okay, because one thing he would say, I like you just as you are. Mr. Rogers was different. We're all different. Amen? But Jesus is the same. And Jesus got happy. Jesus got excited. Jesus got loud. You can read the scriptures. Bold means loud. Amen. At certain times. When Paul saw a little crippled boy, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. And Paul saw him and he connected with him. And Paul prayed and that little boy jumped up. I'm sure Paul jumped up. He was excited that somebody got healed. Somebody was touched by Jesus that was in Paul, it was in him. Amen. So as Rogers was wrapping up college in the spring of 1951, he was planning a career in pastoral ministry. This is what got me, Pastor. He was discerning between a pastor or a TV minister. You know, he had a choice to make here. They're both good choices, but which is the God choice? Amen? Where's that guided drift? But just before starting seminary, Rogers saw a television set for the first time. It's taking us back. As we'll see next week, and I'm going to bring back, this is the devotion here. As we'll see next week, this seminal, so you got to come back next week to see what he did with that. Next week, this seminal moment produced a major jolt to Rogers' guided drift, setting him down a path to creating one of the most influential pieces of culture of the 20th century, a TV show that would make Christian values attractive to millions of children. I'm one of those. I'm the generation. See, God puts us for different people, maybe for a generation to children. And then they grow up to become adults. But guess what? If they get married, they're having children. And you won't. His whole vision was to see if I can reach the children, we can reach the world. We can reach that generation. Passing on. So love thy neighbor. Jesus said that. Two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is equal to it. Just like it's equal. Love your neighbor as yourself. That was the whole purpose of God sending Jesus, was to bring us back to that place of relationship. We were created to love. Our purpose, number one. Now this is me. This ain't Mr. Rogers. But this is our purpose. This is where we start. Adam, man's purpose. God, who is love, created us in his image, love, to love each other. Is that okay? That's not too deep. That's not too hard to understand, right? I didn't want to make this a hard message. I wanted to keep it simple. God is love. God is good. The devil's evil. He's bad. All right? Teach this to your children, children's children. Amen? If you can get that in them, that'll help them fulfill their vision, their purpose. So let's go back to the book of beginnings. That would be Genesis. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Wow, we got some recruited help back there in the audio booth. I see a new face back there. I see a face shaking her head. You look good back there, Miss Tammy. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man, that's male and female, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every living creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own. God did what he said. Amen. He said something and he did it. So God created man in his own image. He created a loving man and woman. In the image of God created him male and female. Created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over all the fish, over all the fowl, and over everything that moves upon the earth. That hasn't changed. That has not changed. I am the Lord. He said, I change not. So God's purpose, even after Adam and Eve sinned, I said Adam and Eve, they both sinned. So God's purpose, even after Adam sinned and lost his position, has never changed. God's plan has never changed. God never stopped loving his creation, and he never will. Because God is love. And if we're going to fulfill that guided drift, if we're going to get into that guided drift and fulfill that specific plan, and you're never too old to fulfill the plan. Ask Moses. I didn't say Dr. Howard. He's not old as Moses. And Moses wasn't old, neither is Jim Howard old. Because as Dr. Rogers would say, we look at the inside person, not the outward man. Amen. And the Bible says the inward man is renewed day by day. He gets younger. Amen. He's renewed day by day. Though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is getting bolder and alive day by day. We're just getting closer. Amen. So if we're going to fulfill that specific plan that God has for us, like Mr. Rogers did, we have to know that Jesus came to place us back in that position with the Father. That's done. Your position is secure in Christ. Your identity is not in the old man you used to be or the old person people think you are. Your identity is in Christ and Him alone. Amen. And He says, you are love, and He loves you. Your love. So Jesus came to put us back in that position with the Father, which according to the scripture in Ephesians 2:6 says, where is that position? And God, and He hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your position. So you should not be drifting. We should be listening and going forward. Now that forward is not downstream, it's upstream. Because when you turn and give your life to Christ, you're going the opposite way of the mass majority of the human beings on this planet, Mr. Rogers would say. He called them human beings. He said, we're all human. And if we're human, things can be mentioned. And if things are mentioned, they can be managed. See, we're human. What does that mean in a nutshell? If we'll talk about our problems instead of talk to our problems, if we talk about our problems with one another, God can help us through the problems. What we don't do is we don't tell God about the problems. We talk to the problems about how big God is and how big Christ is in me. Amen? That's God's purpose, to let us know. That's your position. You're in Christ. If you're in Christ, if you're born again, you're in Him and you're seated in a place in heavenly places in Him. So how can we give love if we don't believe we are loved? There's a lot of people that, you know, when you say God is love, it don't match up because they don't know Him as love. And we got to show them. We got to show our neighbor the love of God. And who is your neighbor is whoever is nearby. It's not just your neighborhood. Your neighborhood is not a geological place. It's the whole world. For God so loved the world. That's His neighborhood. Amen, is the world. So if I'm a part of the family, if I'm a part of God's family, I got a Thanksgiving dinner to go to, and we got all different things going on in our families. But God has one thing that always is always going on in His family. It's called love. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I've got to show forth. That's my whole purpose, is to love people the way Christ loved me. Amen. And gave His life for me. Amen. So I just got to, whatever comes my way, I've got to filter it through the filter of love. And out of that comes power to say something, to be something, to do something, to pray. You can give love if you have love. For God so loved the world, He gave us His only Son, Jesus. Now we have regained the capacity to love again. Through that relationship, through Christ, we have that capacity now. It wasn't in us. Christ wasn't in us before Jesus was born. He couldn't get back into us yet. But Jesus is now seated at a place of authority, high above all principalities and powers. The devil can't get you out. He can't keep you out of that position. He'll try to deceive you to think you don't have that position, but he's a liar. Keep that simple. He's a liar. That's all he does is lie and deceive. So we have to trust, remember, in the Old Testament, faith. We have to trust. We have to have faith in the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, which is that guided drift, discerning. And let the Holy Spirit reveal the Word to us as we study. Just like Cecil said this morning, when he heard about Black Friday, he related that to another Friday. We call it a Good Friday. But see, if you don't know what eternal redemption is all about, you'll say anybody getting put on the cross and crucified and spiked with nails and whipped and spit on, put on a cross, you call that Good Friday? He's a good, good father. He wasn't looking at what he wanted to do. Jesus in his flesh, that wasn't a good thing to do, but it was a God thing to do. Because through that sacrifice, God got his family back. Through his only son. He didn't ask my son. He showed me that through Abraham. God was after getting Jesus spoken into the earth. God would give his only son. See, God will never ask you to do what he hadn't already done. He'll never ask you to do something that's going to bring you... Now, it might bring you persecution, but he's not going to put you in danger. Not if you're in faith. He won't ask you to do it if you're not in faith. Because he loves you that much. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in doing all these things for God, but God wants us. And he knows if he gets us, we'll do the things. But we need to stay close to God. Amen. There's times we just need to be alone with God, and we need to get some things figured out before we go out. Get some things figured out before we go out. Amen. You might have to write you a song and sing it, act it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's what I would like to read and close with today. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for this is our reasonable service. Did you get that?
Yep.
Next verse. Don't be conformed to this world. This world is not your home. It's not your place. But you got grace to stay here until it's replaced. That sound pretty good. I wasn't in the note either. Because it's by grace, through faith, in that grace, in God's promise, that he's going to change this place. He's going to make it new again. But there's other people that we need to bring into our neighborhood. Because God has a big place. His places are big, and he wants the tables filled. That marriage supper of the Lamb, he wants every seat filled. So as we think about, we're coming out of Thanksgiving. Some of us might still be having Thanksgiving then, but we're going right into the Christmas season and holidays. That there are going to be many times that we could be offended. And we could be offenders. We could take that offense and get offended and speak words that are not good words. But what we got to do is another thing that Mr. Rogers did is he would take 1 minute of complete silence. I think we'll just leave that here. And what he would say is in this 1 minute of silence, think about all the people that did good for you and helped you and loved you and cared for you. Just take that minute. And he would do this every day. I don't know how many times a day, but he would do this before he ate his meal. He would take 1 minute of silence. Well, we don't like to be, it's hard for us to be still, but let's take a minute. I don't have a timer. Now, he would time you 1 minute and think about people that's done good, that's been good to you, been a blessing to you.